How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Danae, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I have to say that before we started this, Danae is joining us and it looks like she's in a closet. And I'm like, are you okay? So you have to tell us where you're joining us from. You guys, people go to great lengths to record these Wednesday podcasts for you.
So you're not wrong. I am hiding a little bit. I'm at work right now because that's where I have babysitting and I have lots of little ones. And so I thought it was going to be perfect, 2 o'clock, and my daughter should have been sleeping, but naturally she woke up early. And so she's with the sitter, but she's on site. And so I could hear her crying from my office where I intended to call from. And so I'm hiding back in one of our counseling rooms.
We just make it work, don't we? Like women, we're just okay. And this is what today is going to hold for us. So off we go.
Yeah. So she's happy. She has veggie straws now, but she's 2. So you can't really predict what's going to happen with her next.
No, for sure. Definitely not. So let's start at the beginning. How did you find Organize 365?
So originally I heard about you and your podcast. I was looking for podcast suggestions in a Facebook group and somebody had mentioned Organize 365. And so I started, looking it up and I came to podcasts probably late in the game. I realized that I could listen to them while I was cleaning. So that was really nice.
Yeah. And tell us about the little people that live with you and anybody else that lives in your house. Hopefully you've got more big people support as well.
Yeah. So it's me and my husband, as well as we have an 8-year-old son. We have a 6-year-old daughter. We have a 2-year-old daughter and then another one coming in May. So
congratulations. You are busy.
Yeah. I think I'm always out of breath, which is great. I love it.
Keeps you young and thinner, right?
Yes, that's for sure. Mostly because you can't eat or sit down. But
yeah, in my 20s, I was exhausted, but I was also the thinnest I have ever been because you literally never sat down and you never got to eat anything because it was always cold and somebody else needed something. So yeah. Yeah, not the case today. So I can imagine, but why don't you tell us, why did you decide to start getting organized, or why were you searching for organizing podcasts?
Right. So it was last year, and I really noticed it in high school that I struggled with anxiety and just constantly felt like, things would be overwhelming for me, but I also like to keep an overwhelming life. And so I didn't want to stop doing anything that I was doing, but I also didn't enjoy being overwhelmed by it all. And so that led to lots and lots of anxiety. And so I really started to notice it probably when my youngest daughter was born, that I felt like there had to be something that I could do circumstantially to help control that. And so last year, I heard people saying that, the state of your house could, contribute to your anxiety. And so, I started researching for, organizational resources and task lists and all that other fun stuff. And it's been really helpful. And then the other really big thing is that, that's kind of what got me looking. What kept me hooked was the idea. I had heard you say something along the lines of every minute that you spend planning saves you about 4 or 5 minutes in execution. And so that really appealed to me as a busy mom. I'm like, oh, I can get time. Yes, I can get time, lots of time. And I know another thing that was really helpful was the idea of when you're not really in control of your time when you're disorganized and you're constantly swayed by whatever, whatever I think the words you used were like crisis that happens next.
Yeah.
And that was like, yes, that's me. I feel like I'm never actually in control of what happens. I handle it well, but mm-hmm. I'm never actually in control of it. And so I'm like, if there's anything I can do to change that, then I want to do that.
Okay, good. So what was the first thing you did to change that?
Well, so something that always bothered me, because like most people, we have an outside door that leads into our kitchen. So when you walk in our side door, you walk into the kitchen. And again, like most people, when you walk into my kitchen, used to, whenever you would walk into our kitchen, there would just be a pile of paper all over the, all over the counters. Yes. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm a first impression person. So I would walk in my door every single day and be like, this is the first thing people see when they walk in my house. This is the first, it doesn't matter how, nice and perfectly organized and everything the rest of my house is. If they walk in and they see clutter all over the counters, which is mostly paper, then it just looks disorganized right off the get-go. And I felt that every single time that I walked in my house too.
So is that where you started?
Yeah. So, I hadn't found any resources at all that dealt with paper clutter. I thought that I was just maybe the only person in the world that dealt with that. And so thankfully I went back and listened to your podcast from the very beginning. I had to do everything chronologically. And so it was very quickly in the beginning podcast that I heard something about paper. I'm like, yes, this woman gets it. And so I started right away with the Sunday basket. That was the first time I had ever heard of anything, paper organization wise. And so it worked really well for us. Because I listened to them chronologically, we went out and bought I guess the Sunday baskets would have been available at the actual product, but
yes.
When I was listening to them, it wasn't yet.
Yes, exactly.
so we made a bin and the size of a watermelon and, started organizing everything in that bin. And it just completely changed the feel of our home right when you walked in. So
now you have a place to put stuff. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. What time of year was it, do you think, when you started to do that?
So I remember exactly. It was right before Christmas last year.
Okay.
At the time, I still had all of my grandparents living. Mm. And so my children had, I don't know if it was 14 or 16 grandparents.
Oh my.
And then us, and probably there has to be like 20 or so aunts and uncles. And so we get a lot of Christmas gifts. And I think about a week or two right before Christmas, I started having that anxiety of, oh my gosh, we're about to get a lot of things and we don't even use the things that we have. And just completely and totally overwhelmed by the idea of bringing even a Christmas tree in and it taking up space and, not even a place to put toys around the Christmas tree. And so I was like, something has to happen right now or I'm going to lose it.
So we're recording this right before Christmas, but you're going to be listening to this well after Christmas, but I'm sure you could still, all of you, internalize and remember what it feels like the week before Christmas. Like everybody, all the kids are all excited. Men do whatever men do. Women are having panic attacks. That's what we do from December 20th to December 26th. We just have panic attack after panic attack after panic attack. Do we have everything that we need? Have we wrapped everything that we need? What else do we need to buy? And we know how much more is coming into this house and the house is already overstuffed. So yeah, the podcast and blog traffic always has spiked on December 22nd, 20th, 22nd. It's always the Friday before Christmas. It's when the kids have come home from school and the women are like, oh no, like, oh, it's coming. What am I going to do? We have to get rid of everything.
Yeah. And even, with that too, I'm thinking about all the stuff that we're going to have come into our house, but then I'm also thinking of the fact that, we don't homeschool. I love that some people homeschool. I think it's amazing. We probably will end up there eventually. That's a goal. But right now I'm like, and my kids are going to be home for two straight
weeks. Yes, right. What am I going to do with them?
So like, yes. The panic, I love my kids. I adore my kids. I can't wait for them to come home. And then at the same time, I'm like, and they're going to be home. Everything's going to be a mess. And
well, I don't think it's that they're home. I think it's that there's so much lack of structure.
Yes.
lack of stress. Like if it was like they're home and these are the things we're going to do every day, it's fine. But it's because they're home and they're ready to open presents and we're 5 days away from opening presents and you've got eight things to do and they just want to be entertained. So then you take them out and spend even more money after you've just spent all the money on the holidays. You're like, but I just bought you all this stuff, but I haven't given it to you yet. So now I have to entertain you. It's just, it's a lot. The last 2 weeks of the year are just a lot. And also, like, my husband takes time off of work, but he views it as vacation. It's not vacation for me. So now I have to entertain a spouse and children and do whatever else I normally do. So it's not a female vacation, but the end of the year is really fun, mostly for men and children.
My husband, he works for the post office.
Oh, not fun for him at all. No,
he doesn't exist right now.
Oh my goodness. So you're basically a single parent at the end of the year.
My goodness.
Well, thank you for your service, because we here at Organize 365 use the United States Postal Service aggressively. It is our favorite thing.
So do we.
Okay, so it's December. You started doing the Sunday basket. When was the first time you noticed that something was organized that had not been organized before?
So the first thing that I had really noticed was whenever I was able to actually empty our kids' laundry baskets and like completely wash everything all the way down to the bottom. That was something that I wasn't able to do before, because I would just kind of pull off like that top layer of the things that they would wear a lot and wash that and put it away. And it was mostly because we had so many kids' clothes, and a lot of them, you know, they grow so quickly when they're little. So you have, you know, 12-month clothes and 18-month clothes and two tees, and then you find that random 0 to 3 month outfit. And it was just, their drawers were so full of clothes that they didn't, you know, didn't fit, or it had buttons and it caught on the little one's hair, so she won't wear it. And this one's itchy, and just full of things that they wouldn't wear. And so instead of, you know, packing those away for the next child or donating those or, you know, something, I just kept them there. And that ended up, you know, leading to, we never had, you know, huge piles of dirty laundry, but we would have piles of clean folded clean laundry. And so it would just kind of sit in their bedrooms. And every time I'd walk into the rooms, I would just get frustrated because there's clean laundry, you know, perfectly folded, ready to be put away, but not a place to actually put it away, not space to put it away in their drawers or in their closet. And so when I started going through their clothes and pulling out the things that they were, you know, realistically never going to wear, they had outgrown and we just hadn't put away. And I realized, I think the first day I actually, you know, I could wash everything in their hamper, the whole way down to the bottom. My daughter came home and she's like, "Mommy, it looks so different in here." I'm like, "Oh great, I'm a terrible parent."
Oh my gosh, but they don't remember any of this, by the way. My kids still don't remember anything. Like, they don't think I was a stay-at-home mom, FYI. And I was. I'm like, they're 18 and 19, so don't worry. Your kids are going to remember, like, nothing what you're doing now, so no worries.
That's good. I'm gonna bank on that.
Yes, definitely bank on that and take pictures of the good stuff, and then that's all they ever remember of their childhood. It's my that's my system. So what I love about this is you were listening to the podcast, but you were like taking your latest pain point, the thing that was just driving you crazy, and solving that one problem at a time. So first it was the clutter as you walked in the house, you got the Sunday basket, you got that going. Next was too many clothes, figuring out how to do the clothes, finishing that product. Is that what you tend to do, is like find one thing, complete it all the way, and then go to the next thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I think it's funny because, you know, I will, you know, I've listened to your podcast quite a bit over the last year, and you talk a lot about like the ADHD and ADD and, you know, the brain going everywhere. And I'm always like, I can't, because I hyper focus, and something will just, you know, I'll notice it, but then it's there. It's so there. And I can't get my attention anywhere else other than that one little thing. And, you know, they'll make fun of me here at work because it can be, you know, a picture is like slightly crooked, and I'm like, that's it. We're taking all pictures down, and everyone's getting dusted, and they're all being packed up perfectly, and I will not rest until it's done. And it just becomes the biggest deal in the world. And so when your house is really unorganized and an absolute mess, and you feel like you you know, you notice all of these things, but you feel like you can't get started anywhere, or, you know, what's the point if I fix this one little thing? It really takes a toll mentally on you. So yeah, just, I think as I became more organized, and that was one of the big things that I noticed, as I became more organized, I had the time freed up to where I could actually take care of those things and do it right now, and instead of just having it always looming over me.
So in 1 year, you have just done the Sunday basket. Like, you haven't even done the 100-day program yet.
No, and not yet.
Already have extra time?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think I started to realize that, I mean, you always have that, I saw like a funny meme on Facebook the other day, and it was talking about how, like, I just did that task that took 13 minutes that I've been dreading for the last 3 years.
Or yes, exactly. The last
3 years. And you know, that's, I can do that. Sometimes I really try to be aware of that and not do that. But I think just as I think as you do things, you realize it doesn't take that long. So like in the beginning, when you have your kitchen completely full of papers and everything, even if you don't deal with the papers, you have to move them to clean the counters.
Yeah.
And so, you know, before it would take an hour to clean my kitchen because I had to move things and I had to shift things. And then I would, you know, stand there and just stare at the pile of papers, or, you know, stare, be annoyed that I couldn't fit all the glasses in the cupboard and try to figure that out. And it was just, there were so many extra things that I had to do. And so by minimizing some of those things and, you know, having systems for everything that actually worked for us, I realized, you know, one of my fun realizations just, I don't know, a week or so ago, is I can deep clean my kitchen in 15, 20 minutes because there's not that much to do anymore. And we do, we have little kids. We have, you know, everything from bottles to big kid plates that we have to keep in our kitchen, and it's not overwhelming anymore. So it's a quick clean. Yeah, just whenever you have less stuff to handle.
That is so, I think, refreshing for some people to hear, because I know we're always talking about people go all access or the buy the 100-day program, and you're saying you just have done the Sunday basket and continue to listen to the podcast, and you're watching your house transform around you by just tackling one area at a time and the next area at the time. Now, during this year, have you had any unexpected events in your organizing journey?
Yes. So we've had a lot of different things. we started off last year, and this was kind of one, I forgot about this actually until right now, but one of the things that happened last year was that my whole family was getting sick, and we couldn't figure out why. We had gone to several different doctors and they couldn't find anything wrong. We just kept getting sick over and over and over again. And, in that, you know, when it happens once, you're like, oh, kids get sick. You know, it happens. You get the cold, you get the flu, you get whatever little stomach bug. But when it starts happening week after week after week after week, when you've typically, like, we don't ever go to the doctors except for our, you know, our annual checkups. And so suddenly we're there all the time. It was just weird. And so you start having these thoughts creep into your mind of like, you know, I'm not a great mom. I can't even, you know, keep my kids healthy. And, you know, where am I going wrong? And, you know, is there something I'm not doing right? And you feel like you can't protect your family. And so, we were going through that, and, you know, I started, like sanitizing everything. And so, you know, it's like, could have bought stock and Lysol at the time and just, you know, trying to wipe everything down. And that was kind of one of the things that got me moving too. But through that, I had actually gotten pregnant. And so, but then because I had gotten sick, I was not able to keep a fever down for, I think it was a week, and we ended up losing that baby. And so it was just, it was a rough time for, like, that's how we rang in the new year. So,
oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm so sorry, Danae.
No. And we, you know, that was like how we started the year. We're all sick. We had just lost the baby. And then we continued to be sick for like the next couple months. And I don't totally know what happened. Just one day I realized that it had been, you know, 5 or 6 days before you know, somebody had thrown up, which we're like, we realized it was also terrible. We're like, wow, it's become so normal for everyone to be sick that when we go 5 or 6 days, it feels like we're on a really good run. But then, you know, it turned into 10 days and just suddenly everybody was better again. So I don't know what happened. We never figured it out. Nobody's been sick since. So I don't know what happened.
Your immune system is like the Incredible Hulk now.
Apparently. But thankfully in the spring that just kind of let up out of nowhere and, you know, things were good for a while. Then shortly after that, you know, my sister-in-law was going through some things and she needed to move in with us. And so we took her in for a few months and that just, I mean, love her to death, but you know, adding somebody to your house.
Everybody reads between the lines or you don't have to expound, Danae. We know what you're saying there.
Yeah. So suddenly we needed a new bedroom. We didn't have a guest room. So, you know, my son had to give up his room and it just changes things. You know, then shortly after that, or during that time, I got pregnant and, I mean, I'm thankful that we've never had difficulties getting pregnant. But man, when I get pregnant, I get so sick. I get this lovely thing called hyperemesis gravidarum and it's
you
just
and
like,
Princess Kate, you're just like Princess Kate.
I feel her pain.
Not that I'm obsessed with the Royals, but I'm obsessed with the Royals. You're wondering. I know all about it. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because I was thinking this morning, even a little bit, you know, I started in, you know, one of the golden windows that you talk about and, you know, it's like, oh, I have, you know, multiple ones stacked on top of each other. And, but at the same time, like if I would have known all of the things that would have happened this year so far, I probably would have been too scared to start. So,
yes.
You know, and it's just one of those things like, yes, you have golden windows. There's times where, and that's probably one of the things that got me through, like kept me motivated. But at the same time, I'm like, if I wouldn't have started, then I can't even imagine how much more difficult this year would have been emotionally and physically and everything else, because it's just been a doozy.
Well, what do you have more of now and what do you have less of now?
I feel so cliche saying it because I feel like everyone said it so far, but I definitely have more time.
I love that everybody says it though, because I feel like a liar saying that you're going to get more time, but you're all proving me right. You do get more time.
You do. And I will be honest, I'm really good at that. I thought you might have been a liar when I first
right.
That.
See? I know.
Because, you know, you hear too, like you only have 24 hours in a day. Yep. So unless you cut out sleeping, which I mean, I think I could do anyway as a parent, but of young children, but unless I cut out more sleep, there aren't physically more minutes. And so I couldn't understand, my very analytical brain could not understand how you just make more time. It doesn't seem like it should work. And so it wasn't until I started seeing that everything was taking me less time whenever I didn't have to work around piles of things and I didn't have to, you know, do the same thing over and over and over again because, you know, stuff shift or anything like that. But I was able to find that I had a lot more free time. I think another thing too for me was that the idea of like, task stacking. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of that concept before, which is shocking to me. Oh, okay.
Made it up.
I'm so bad anymore then.
I make up a lot of things. There are a lot of things I say that I make up. I should have a whole dictionary.
Well, I would buy that. but I had never heard that before. And I think that took away a lot of like the, you know, the things looming over me. And so even with this, I heard, you know, talk about it in Sunday basket and the idea of, okay, that's a thing, you know, that can wait until Sunday and putting it in basket. But like, I know for me, I would just constantly feel like things like laundry, I'd constantly feel like I have to do it, or, oh, I have to do the dishes, or, oh, I have to do laundry. And it was just always there. And so sometimes, you know, you would just acknowledge it and then just still dread, like, oh, I need to do that. Yeah. But now it's much more so like, nope, I do laundry on Thursdays, or I've already done my load of laundry today that I'm going to do. And nope, that's not on today's agenda anymore. Yes. We don't need to do that. So it doesn't get to linger over me. I don't constantly feel that weight anymore. So that's been a really good thing. So I guess, you know, what do I have more of? I have more of energy too, with more mental clarity, more time. I have more space because there's less things in my house.
Well, you're going to fill that with that precious bundle of joy soon. So it's a good thing you made space.
Yeah. It's funny too, because we, one of our issues was that whenever we first got married, we lived right outside New York City. So you'd pay like, you know, $1 million for like a 3 foot square foot house. And it's terrible. But so we lived in this tiny little like edge of a garage. Like, I swear it was like the smallest thing. It barely fit our bed, like a small full size bed. And I don't know how we lived there for like 2 years. I don't even know how, but there's no room to walk. And we just kind of, you know, accumulated things thinking, and we put off getting organized because we're like, oh, you know, we won't live here forever. We'll get a bigger house. And so we moved into, you know, a slightly bigger house, still in the same area, so it's not much bigger, but we did the same thing there. Even though we had more space, we're like, oh, you know, we don't have to worry about this now. A bigger house is always the solution to all of our problems. And so we went from, I think our first house, it was under 200 square feet. Realistically, it's like the closet I'm hiding in right now. It's tiny, tiny. And so now we live in a 2,400 square foot house, and it's amazing. We filled it and then over maxed it out. And it's so funny because we always thought that was going to be the solution to our problems, and it never was. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until, you know, last year when we finally were like, okay, we can't go much bigger. Like, there aren't even many houses in this area now that are much bigger.
Yes.
And so we need to figure out, like, I don't think it's the size of our house anymore. I think it might be us. And so figuring that out and realizing that wasn't the problem. Like, the problem was that we had too much stuff, and we weren't, you know, we didn't have systems and organization put into place. And yeah, so now we do have a bigger house, but we do have more space than we've ever had, even in this house.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, I think that so often when I come up against a roadblock in my parenting or in my business or in my personal home organization, I want to go to an external answer, like get a bigger house, hire another person in the business, take the kids to a therapist or whatever. Whereas if you really, it takes longer and it's more of a mental shift. But if I do the work myself and systematize the business or spend more time with my kids or declutter my house, I get the same result without having to spend the time and money with an external source. It's just harder. I think it's harder to buckle down and not just do the work, but claim the ownership of the work. Like, nope, this is the size of the house. So now I'm going to have to change my behavior. I'm going to have to change something about me or exert my own effort over this space so that it will work, versus trying to go out and just get something external.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally agree with that. It is definitely harder too. And I think that's probably why we like to look for those externals.
Right. It just seems like a different house would be better.
Right.
Right. All right. So what do you wish that you had known sooner?
I wish I would have understood how the condition of our home played into how we were feeling. I wish I would have understood that it was actually the source of a lot of really unnecessary anxiety, not only for me, but for my whole family. I notice it most in my husband, and our oldest son. You know, it's just, it's hard. We all work pretty demanding jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and between going to school and my husband working for the post office, I'm a home birth midwife. It's always high stress, high demand.
Oh, fun.
In an Amish community, so lots of babies.
How fun.
Yeah. So, and weird hours. So, you know, whenever you come home, you just want to relax. Well, when your house is in a constant state of distress, you can't just come home and relax. And so, you know, when my son would come home from school, he would just be anxious and you could see it. And he would start asking a lot of questions, which would lead to me hearing way too many questions and me just being like, oh, just stop. You know, I love you, but I can't even answer your question of what you can have for snack right now because it just feels like too much. And so, and he would, you know, he processes anxiety with lots of questions, and my husband would come home and would just kind of immediately start, you know, he's great. I'm super blessed with him, but you could just tell right away, he'd start kind of, you know, smacking dishes, and instead of, you know, nicely putting them in the dishwasher, he'd get frustrated and do it quickly. And you could just tell we were all frustrated. Nobody could sit down and relax. And that led to so much anxiety. So yeah, I wish I would have known.
So is it different now?
Yes, it's so much different. One of the things too is like I feel like I have the time to, you know, recognize when those times are that it's going to be stressful for everybody, and because I have the time, I can plan for them. So like last
okay,
night,
I'm still boggled. All right, you have three children, you work, your husband works, you're pregnant. I don't believe you. You have more time. How do you have this time now? Explain. What do you mean? Do you mean mental time? Like physical time?
No, physical. Well, both, I suppose. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where like, I don't really know.
I know. Isn't it hard to explain? This is why I'm making you explain it. Because we all sound like liars now.
Right. Well, because I mean, well, the funny part too is like, if I were to hear myself speak, I promise I'm not lying. I'm gain in lying right now. But like, if I would have heard myself saying this now, if
you
I would have heard myself
it.
Last year, no.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Shocked. And you know, it is, it's crazy. And it's, yeah, I do work, you know, it ends up a lot of times when you count all the nights that I'm away, lots of babies at nights, and catching up during the day. I don't know. It ends up being a full-time job. My husband's mm-hmm. working, you know, 7 to 7 right now. My kids are two of them are in school, and I don't know. It just, everything takes less time. And I think we spend so much of that time worrying about things that we're not actually doing it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we can sit there and just be frustrated. You know, I know I need to go clean the bathrooms, but you don't typically just stand up and go do it. You sit there and frustrated about it, and you kind of, you know, push things around and be annoyed, and just, you don't act. It's not nearly as productive. I feel like I'm way more productive now. And so, and things take less time. Like I can clean my whole kitchen in 20 minutes. My kids, because I've been able to be an example to them of what things need to look like, they can do those things in less time as well. And they enjoy doing them. So like even last night we had extra kids over and I told my son he needed to go clean his room. And at first, you know, he still has that knee-jerk reaction of, oh, I don't want to clean my room. I said, Stephen, it will take you less than 2 minutes to go clean your room because we don't let it get bad anymore. Yeah. And he's like, oh yeah. And he ran upstairs without question. It took him less than 2 minutes. He made his bed even, which I wasn't expecting him to do. And that's it. It takes no time to do anything anymore because we stay on top of things. And so that's really nice. I will say that one of the things that we did is we did hire a housekeeper. She comes once every 2 weeks. Yeah, thanks.
Did you just say it's under medical for cleanliness, so there's no more throwing up?
Yeah.
It's a medical expense.
And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, it is obviously nice that she takes care of a lot of that cleaning stuff. But it's completely shifted how we have to handle our house too, because there's things I won't let her do. I won't let her pick up the kids' toys. That's their responsibility. I think it's important for them to know, you know, how to do that and to be responsible for their things. But my kids know that things have to be picked up. She is not going to work, or she will work right around our clutter. Like, no, I need that done. So I have to make sure that our house is completely picked up and everything before she gets there. And so it puts us in a different state of mind. Knowing that she's coming over, and she can also, I swear, she can do 10 hours worth of work in what it takes her, like, in 4 hours.
So, I know. I mean, the math does not equate. When I clean my house, 6 to 8 hours, top to bottom. When I would clean other people's houses, 3 hours. I don't know.
And my husband will always say it's because she doesn't, you know, start doing the dishes and see something on the windowsill and was like, oh, I need to go put that away. And then goes to do that and sees 10 other things and then, you know, never gets back to the doing the dishes. She's, you know, one track mind and knows what she needs to do. And I mean, truly when she's there, we're twice the power because I think she expected me, especially whenever I told her to come over because I was very sick and pregnant. I think she expected me to kind of lay around while she did everything. And so I'm running up and down with the laundry baskets and getting everything. Yep. And she said, you're going to be more tired than I am when I'm done.
Yes.
But I know it's motivating for me to be able to, I feel like I'm, you know, twice as productive whenever she's there because things are getting done and I didn't have to do them. So
me too.
But yeah, that's really helpful.
So what is your next step in your organization journey?
I do want to do the 100-day program. That is my next step. I'm really excited about that. I've done the free week with the laundry room. Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody, again, super cliche. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the 100-day program and I'm like going to do it all in the 100 days and be the first person, you know, what everybody says. And then I got the laundry room one and I got to like day three and I was like, so like,
I have to say, Danae, I would guess that you're going to get a lot of the 100-day program done the first time through because you've spent a year preparing for it. Like you've already done like a lot of the kids stuff. You've already, your Sunday basket is fully working. You already have your kitchen where it, you can clean it in 15 to 20 minutes. So you are going to be able to do just the organizing. You're going to skip the whole decluttering year and jump into the second one. Plus you're going to be nesting towards the end of the first round of the 100 days. Whereas everybody else is like, oh, spring fever. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, the baby's coming. And so I honestly think that you will get through all 100 days of the 100-day program in 2020.
I'm a perfectionist, so that is my goal still, even though I know it may be unrealistic. I am going to be the first. Wait, has somebody done it yet?
One person, yes.
Okay, we'll pretend she didn't. And yes.
You can't share it with her. You're still like, you'll still be like one in 1,000.
I can take that.
Oh boy, these perfectionists. It's hard. It's hard around. We're terrible. No one's ever done it. Then that person's going to email me. You know, I did it.
She can email me.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to put you guys in your own little group because the rest of us who are getting through day 21 are just like, I earned a Snickers bar today and I'm moving on.
I like her already.
Okay. So what advice would you give to someone else that is just starting out?
I think for me, just one of the things I would just keep telling myself is just keep pushing through. There's always things that happen. Knowing that you're going to be able to handle them better. You know, the further that you push into this journey, it was definitely motivational for me. So just keep pushing through. You might not want to today. It might feel like 10 steps backwards. But, you know, I love what you always say, the progress over perfection. That's so important for me because I want to be like, I want to do it right the first time. And
yes.
I won't do anything, you know, again, because I'm sitting in my office. My coworker, she would get so frustrated because she's like, let's paint your office. It'll look so much better. I'm like, no, we can't even paint the walls until I have everything planned out. Like until I know the wall decorations and the carpet color and what, how I want my desk to be down to the pins that I have on my desk. She's like, okay. But so for me, I always just want to have, you know, I want it ideally laid out first, but it doesn't work that way. You need to just, you know, push through and start getting things done, looking at progress first. And I think the other really helpful thing is to be realistic with where you are. You know, I wanted a Pinterest perfect home. I wanted, you know, everything. I love Instagram. So naturally I want like everything that I post on Instagram to be perfect and curated. And that's also, I'm 30. So that's like super in my generation, where everything's perfect. We're all perfect, right? So it's all lies, just pushed out of the camera. And so I wanted it to be, you know, exactly right. And the reality is that when we go to take a bath at night or a shower, we throw our clothes on the floor right outside the tub. Like, that's yep. what happens. And they don't always get picked up. So it's silly not to put a hamper right by the tub. And yes. so just things like that, like, okay, here's where we are. Yes, I don't want the hamper in our bathroom. For whatever reason, I want it to be perfect. And that doesn't fit my definition of perfection. But neither does clothes on the floor. And so it just, you know, analyzing where you are, being real with where you are, finding those little solutions that work and actually going for them.
And I love how you said, it doesn't match my ideal of perfection, having a laundry basket in the bathroom, but neither does having clothes on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we think that if we make it look like Pinterest, then the way we function in our home and our habits are going to change. And that's not true. And mm-hmm. so I love that you are recognizing this.
Yeah.
Today, this has been such a lovely conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the Wednesday podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we promise we are not lying to you. This is the truth.
I have nothing to gain from lying to you.
Hilarious. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.